Telegraph. Isn't it great to be sober? Our men have used to say, it's wonderful to be sober. Them are precious, precious words, isn't it? It's wonderful to be sober. Will you help me in the serenity prayer today? God grant me serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things that I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Yesterday morning when I woke up, one of the first things I discovered, the air was heavy. I've got a little trouble with my breathing, so try to bear with me if you can. I'm one of you. I drank too much, too long, too often, and I'm not ashamed to belong to this program. But I'm just so happy and so grateful and so thankful that this program is here for me to hang on to. The millions of people that have traveled this same road as you and I, but never gone, but you and I have gone. Am I grateful enough? Am I grateful? I cannot afford to look back over the past too far. That's what over the dam. Not a thing I can do about the past. I'll try to permit my wrongs and go on. Why should I try to pull today's load with yesterday's dead horse? That's what over the dam. And I cannot afford to look ahead too far. I can't cross the bridge before I get there. So today is the day. Well, I'm 77 years old. Been sober 37 years. Ooh, but a long drive, though, huh? One day at a time, one day at a time, one day. Someone has said, if I have a board 365 feet long, and said, nobody can lift that board. But let me cut that board into 1 foot length. It's not hard. I like that slogan when I got a hold of that. There's thousands and hundreds and thousands of slogans that I love. That are fond that make this road to schoolroom of AA much easier. Well, I drank too much, too long, too often. That's the reason I'm here. At the age of 16, one Sunday afternoon, a bunch of us boys, we got it in my uncle's cider barrel in the wintertime without sled riding. Now, this was my first try with any kind of booze, and all really to know what alcohol would do to you. I took a couple rounds of good hard cider, I got the spring in my finger, it made me woozy, I loved it. I found something. Took that shyness out of me, that little runtness out of me, made me about 2 feet taller than I really was. I found a new world. We went out sled riding, we came back after the second round, and I made a complete pig out of me. I didn't know when to stop drinking, I kept drinking. The last drink, they took it away from me. I would have probably blacked out if he wouldn't have took that last drink away from me. From then on out, for the next 24 years, I never seen the day that I was able to take one or two drinks of alcohol in any shape, form, or way, and shut it off and go about my business. I don't say I always got drunk. I was brought up in a good home, right from wrong. But I was never, never satisfied with one or two drinks. I like Ethel Macy used to say, I just wanted to drink to get mellow, then I got right, and then I got rotten. 27th day of February 1930, we got married. I still love to drink, but change friends. From 1930 to 1940, I was a drunken farmer. A lot of things happened. 90% of my drinking I done all by myself because it was too hard a job to keep myself supplied instead of handing it out for someone else. Like Dick said, I didn't pass out very much. No, I was too stingy. A lot of things happened. I drank bootleg whiskey, hard cider, beer, wine, anything to pretend alcohol. Not for the taste, but for the effect what it done to me, that false courage, that no care feeling. That happy medium, that's what I wanted, but I didn't always stay that way. When the old cider barrel stood empty, oh, brother, now I have to go out and buy again. This running out of booze in the middle of the day was a horse bill. I used to hear over in the old country where they had big reservoirs full of wine. Wouldn't that be wonderful? They had a big supply. You wouldn't be running out all the time, but I did. Then get rid of the empty bottles. That was another drawer. A woman asked her husband one day, and I said, where did all these empty bottles come from out here in the garage? The husband said, I don't know. I never bought an empty bottle in my life. But I didn't either. Well, that's enough of that. By 1940, I had banked completely under the table financially banking. From 1940 on, my main drink was Coke and White Fortress. You ever think about them dry heels, that brain remover, that idiot juice? Then the lad, I'm going to cut it short. You know how to get drunk. I'll soon tell you what this wonderful God-given program means to me. The last 2.5 years of my drinking the sober days was very few. I don't say I was completely drunk every day, but having a bag for the sea. To tell you how sneaky that I was, in the last year of my drinking one day, my wife asked me, I thought I could tell it on you when you got a drink or two in you. But for a long time, you always looked the same. You're surely not drinking every day. And he said, yes, Mom, that's right. That was the first spark of honesty that crossed my path in the line of drinking. About the middle of May of 1947, when evening, I went to bed and I couldn't sleep. I came to the dead end of my road. I came out in the room, my wife was still in the room, and said, Mom, I'm late. I have to do something about my drinking. Now, see, she almost fell over backwards. You never heard of your mom got on me like that before, or anybody else did. Never. Then my wife said, well, what do you want to do? I said, go to some hospital, try to get a start to get away from the alcohol. And I never touch it again. I don't remember making that last remark, but I had to believe my wife. She was sober and I was not. Well, we found out of a man who went to a, never heard of AA, here's a God's. He went to a treatment of alcoholism. My wife got this address and she, and the last Friday of May, she got this answer out of Cleveland. It was $200 for a 3-day treatment. Later on, he found out it's a tequila cure. And I was willing to grab for anything. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. But staying so. On the last Friday of May, we lived on my father-in-law's farm. My neighbor came there to visit my father-in-law at the right 10 minutes time. I always say he was sent by God. Before this, it was all hush-hush. I didn't want to hear any part of this thinking, but now I didn't care which of. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I told my neighbor what I'm going to do, and I'm going to Cleveland, do something about my drinking, but I need money. First of all, he said, I haven't got no money for you, and second, he said, don't go to Cleveland. My uncle been out there twice, and it's no good, he's drinking. But he said, 5 weeks ago, I was in Worcester the day this blacksmith surrendered, Johnny Blowhard. And that man's got something. He's sober. 5 weeks. Well, on the first day of June, me and my wife went to Whiston. We got the address. This was Broad Street home in Columbus, 1134 East Broad. We walked into that home the evening about sundown. I was about 7-8 in the bag. I usually been for a long time. Met Al's wife at the door, and the first words I asked him said, is this a place where they cure drunk? Then he asked a bunch of questions about my drink, and I told him part lie, part truth. He pronounced me an alcoholic. I never heard that before. To me, it was a polished word for a drunk. I liked it. But it's dictated. The second day in the hospital was the first time I ever heard of AA. How grateful, how grateful, how grateful. He treated me wonderful in them 5 days. The greatest thing I took away in them 5 days. In my fucked up mind, one of the last days, I asked Johnson, the manager, how long will this be till this craving will leave me for alcohol? He said, work it on a 24-hour basis, 24 hours is so long. He said, break it down in 2 hours and ask your maker to help you. Someday it'll come easy. That was the greatest joy I took home from the house. Someday it'll come easy. I came home and I was enthused, even in all my shakes. I shook for weeks and weeks, shaking off that last 2.5 years out. And I told my wife, now this thing works, we're going to tell others. My wife, it's the same idea. We're going to a meeting, or well, it was just at the meeting, at the hospital meeting. But it did not show through this big full amount. Now, here's another great miracle. There's a lot of miracles. 10 days after I was home from the hospital, my sponsor drove 10 miles to invite me to that first meeting. God only knows where would I be. It wouldn't have been for that sponsor. On the 23rd of June of 1947, we attended the first AA meeting in Worcester. About 50 people there. Jenny Margaret led that first meeting, but I can't tell you one single word she said in my fogged up mind. But the two greatest things I took away from that first meeting was the welcome they gave me. The $1 million smile they had on their face. They had something that I wanted. They was enjoying life without a bother, and that's what I wanted. Enjoy life without a bother. So I kept going back. Now, let's talk a minute about the degrees of alcoholism. It's just like an elevator. What floor are you going to get on? Are you going to go all the way down to the bottom? You don't have to. I seen the Skid Row film in AA a number of years ago. I should call the Skid Row, and some cold winter morning, as high as 30 of them did. So it's not how much you drink, or what you drink, or how long you drink. It's what alcohol does to you. Does alcohol make you a different person? It does me. I cannot guarantee my behavior. I take one drink of alcohol. One drink is too many, and 10,000 is not enough for me, because I am an alcoholic. A power greater than you? Well, sure, there must be a power. Look at the spring of the year when the flowers, the grass, the leaves come out. Somebody's taking care of these things. The guy that made a grain of wheat decided to shape the color of the farm like a natural grain. He planted this grain of wheat, but it didn't grow. Why? Because it did not have no life. It is God that gives the life. Someone has said, I don't understand everything about this God business. But he said, I don't understand anything about this electricity either, but I'm not going to sit in the dark till I do. I like where the little girl was asked to recite the 23rd Psalm. Said, the Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want. So there's a power greater. Sure, there must be. I'm not sure to believe there is a power greater than ourselves, that there is a God. And not to believe there is no God, then come to the end of life and find out there is one. Then what? You know, I'm not like the writer in the great band said. Thank God I am an atheist. Put it down that way. Thank God I'm an atheist. June the 7th, this is so important. All these wonderful stories. Working at the place. June the 7th, they said there's three places for an alcoholic to land. In the insane asylum, in the morgue, or totally abstain. January the 29th, said, God, if you architect, now I'm the builder. I said, do something about it. I cannot sit at home, maybe rock and pray and say, I'm grateful. Gratitude demands expression. Who needs it? Now, the keystone of the whole program, in my way of thinking, is honesty. Get honest with yourself and your fellow man. Get honest with myself that I have a problem. Be willing to do something about it. The greatest thing that I want to be thankful and grateful that I have a privilege to live in the day and age where this program is here for me to hang on to. Look at the millions of people that through the centuries of years we've traveled the same road as you and I with the same problem, the same disease, but never been able to find what you and I have found. In 1840, there was a program similar to ours called the Watchetonium. Thousands upon thousands in the program. But they started preaching and evangelize it, and politics got involved in all fell apart. Then Dr. Bobbini's last talk said, keep it simple, don't louse it up, don't complicate it. I like that. Those are precious words. Don't complicate. Dr. Bob said also in his story, he said, I must keep schooling myself. Little boy came home from school one day, and father asked him, son, what did you learn today? Not much, I have to go back tomorrow. That's the last. Keep doing something about it. Think of the man of a mother was hanging on the school wall. In my drinking days, I didn't have time to think about that mother. I said, do your best and do it every day. Let us do our best today. Honesty and gratitude are the two key words in my way. We're talking about gratitude. The two prisoners would have been out through the window. One had seen the stars, the other had seen the moon. And my gracious. And my gracious. We have put gratitude in action. A man went to church every night, and the guy asked him, "How are you sick, neighbor?" He said, "I don't know. I just want to see a sermon and hear it anyway." That was a boat sinking, not too far from shore, and on this boat there was a good swimmer. This good swimmer rescued 18 people one by one to save for himself. And not a one of these 18 people came back and told this good swimmer for saving their life. But today I have a choice. And I want to keep them. The guy that is all wrapped up in his job makes a very small package. Trust God, King House, nobody. The whole program hangs on them six words. Trust God, King House, nobody. I like to put a handle on them six words. Love and service. Jack Bear used to say, desire, decision, determination. And I need all three of them. Desire, decision, determination. Someone has said, if you can't find nothing to be grateful for, you've got a very poor memory. Hard truth. Little boy complained he didn't have no shoes to wear, so you see, the little boy didn't have no feet. But I still have problems. I like to say, when clouds of trouble bring tears to my eyes, God stands ready to put a rainbow in your heart. Bill Wilson had found this day meeting in 1965, dropped these precious verses. So some never set them on the facade of AA. And someone has said, my earnings, my life is not too much here on this earth. But he said, my retirement plan is out of this world. I'm like the old Indian said, I sort of have my pot boiling over, they're not boiling at all. 2 and 4 at the end of the prayers as I pray that I may not be discouraged in the slow progress that I make. It's like Henry Warmer said, it isn't a trying. There's no top round, there's no diploma, there's no graduation. It's a present what a man can still learn as he thinks he knows it all. There's always something to learn if I'm willing. And how much more beautiful the sun looks at the dark, dreary day, and behind every cloud there's a silver lining. If we magnify our blessings for it, we do our troubles, but it doesn't go to the sea. Put in mind a Henry Warmer theory. The terminal tower where he goes, every word he goes up in the terminal tower and to his office. One of the richest men in the world goes up in the elevator with him, and he said, I've never seen that man crack a smile. Solomon of old said, it's all vanity. Can't take it alone. Sharing is the key to success. Sharing. Faith is the key that unlocks the storehouse of God's resources. In June the 16th, says, faith is not the whole story. I must be service. We must get this thing away. We must get this thing away before Jesus. The service to others give me real purpose in life. That's the thing. The new person in the lifeblood of AA is by coming to these meetings and talking with other people and absorbing some of these handles they throw around at these AA meetings, you're sharing. And that's the key to success. And before you drop out of AA, read November the 2nd, the meditation. It says, a lake must have an inflow and an outflow in order to be clear. The little boy that was flying a kite on a cloudy day. The man came along and said, what are you doing, son? I'm flying a kite. The man looked up and said, I can't see nothing. The little boy said, yes, I feel it. I got a hold of the string. Good job, little boy. Service is my room rent here on this earth. The little boy just fell out of bed one night. His father asked his son what happened. They got too close to the edge. I don't want to get too close. Just give me a new lease on life. It's not so much in life what I want, it's what I need. Someone has said, that maybe there are no musts in AA, but there's a lot of better than you. The big book has over 70 musts. It It's not so much in life what I need, what I want is what I need. J.C. Penney was one there and said, you must have a lot of problems here your last 10 years, but I grew in my difficulties. Worry is a slight form of atheism. The four absolutes make a good foundation to build this house of sobriety. I like what Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob both said before they died. I hope that don't forget the four absolutes. Honesty, purity, unselfish, and love. And that makes a good foundation to build this house of sobriety. Not only with lip service, but still something about it. In connection with the 12 steps, the 12 steps, step number one, that's the key. Admit we have a problem. Then comes step number two, find yourself a power greater than yourself. Then comes that beautiful step number three. Make a decision to turn your will and your life over to the care of God if you understand Him. That's what you live in. Now we come to step number four. That's the humdinger. That moral inventory. This house thing to me. Get rid of the garbage. Come on, the Lord, I need to put a barrel aside away for vinegar. He never got any vinegar. Jim. Throw my brother law aside. Then go back and apologize for them things. It's not easy, but some of the things I have to do, you know, to get the value of this children. Step number five, but let's be bad for another human being that that makes you your own. They're all important, every one of them are important. Then comes the last three steps. I'm maintaining steps. I'll not be done working as long as I live. Then steps can't continue to take person in the door. I like the story in connection with step 10. Little boy went to the drugstore and asked the man, can you use your phone? He said, sure, John. So he called up a party and the party answered. Little boy said to the man, you need somebody around the house to mow your lawn to keep things in order? No, I have a little fellow who did it work for me. Is he doing a good job? Yes, he's doing a fine job. So he hung up the receiver and started to go out in the drugstore. Man called him back and said, come at here, John. I've got a job for you. I don't want a job. That's the place I'm working. I'm just taking up on myself. To find out which way my traveling on this highway over here. Now we come to step number 11, practical prayer meditation to improve. Let's stand still. To improve our conscious contact with God. Again, the beauty is we understand Him. Praying only for the knowledge of His will, not my will, and the power for us to carry it out. Not a cross, but to carry the message, not the alcoholic. We can lead a horse and water truck, but we can't make him drink. And the big book says, if you want what we have. Now comes the last seven words of the 12 steps. That's a big order. A big order. Practice these principles in all our affairs. That's my attitude. If I'm driving along down the highway with my car and somebody pulls right in front of me, do I pray for him or do I get a seat in my mind? Some of the things that I have to keep in mind. To find out what your man tells me. What you think you'll not find unless you share. This is a program of sharing. If you do something, God burns all the people the birds, but you're not putting it into their nest. AA gives us a box of tools. It's up to me to use that tool for me. Not for you. I didn't ask you to do my drinking for me. I done my own drinking. I got one more drunk coming, but do I have another recovery coming? And I want to keep that the uppermost in my mind. And look at, you and I are sober tonight. Look at the millions of people out there still practicing. Are not able to stay sober. You and I got a choice. I'm not saying that God should take these problems away from me. I'm asking God to give me more backbone to face these problems. Some people are just like tea bags here, very little bag, and I don't have to get in hot water. Hot tea. Like Ed Barnes used to say, it's not the two of the prison that pulls that train to take action. Like the two dogs. Like when I'm wiping them. Like when the old nation, the wife of the new nation, they're always quarreling. Someone has said that Well, which shall win? Is it the one that I feed the most? Well, it's true. Take it, Banjo, sit like a bicycle. As long as I keep pedaling on this bicycle, I'll be doing all right. You know, any dead fish can swim down the river, but it takes a live one to swim up, don't it? Yes. An idle mind is the devil first class. Someone has said, well, I don't have any problem with the devil. Well, maybe you're going the same direction here. The largest room is room for improvement, and that is me. The greatest thing that I must do is be the self, not someone else. Someone has said, well, we have to keep up with the Joneses as well. If that's the case, we better find out where they're going. Not true. Not true. Well, you were dealing about prayer. I use prayer just when you get in a tight spot, all confused down in a dump like a spare tire, like a fire escape, just in case of emergency. Prayer is the key to God's treasure. Another man said, it's just as important to dress up my mind as it is to dress up my body. Prayer. And cross, if you want to pray for potatoes, reach for a hoe. Do something like that. Down below used to be like a trolley car. As long as this trolley car is connected up with the electric line up above, it's runnable. Ah, true. The man went into his telephone booth after night, looking all around for the light and couldn't find it. Another man came by and seen this problem and said, close the door to the light will come on. He gave God my undivided attention. One more in the line of prayer. The blind man did this healed. The master didn't tell him, open your eyes, you're healed. No. He said, go to the pool and wash. Take a handful of clay and smear you over his eyes. He said, now go to the pool and wash. Do something about it. That's good for us. God will do his part, but we have to do our part. I get up in the morning, I ask God for strength and guidance for that day. I close my day with thanksgiving for that day. I say many little flash prayers during the day that I'm not on my knees. But it's no harm to get on your knees. Few words yet about meetings and all. Keep my big mouth closed. A speaker got asked the chairman before the meeting one time. I didn't ask Big Dad. He said, how long can I talk? Chairman said, you can talk just as long as you want to, but at 9:30 we're going home. So I'm going to close before you go home. Meeting. Oh, I could tell you some tragedy stories. These last 37 years. Not because I went to too many meetings, no. Not a one. I met a man in St. Thomas Hospital quite a number of years ago with 11 years under his belt. What happened? Well, drinking sweet cider, the cider got hard enough, got to stop drinking. Have you been to any meeting lately? I haven't been to a meeting for a long time. Met a man in Charity Hospital years ago. Over 25 years ago. A young man that I know, 4 years under his belt, back in Bethany. In our conversation, I asked him, do you have the 24-hour booth? Yes, I do, but he didn't have it open for a couple of years. Same old story. Same old story. This is it. A man out of the inner group office in Akron, a 20-year man, got drunk. He called for help, and a young man with 7, 8 years of good solid sobriety under his belt was called on the scene. And this young man came on the scene, this old drunk said, you young punk, you can't tell me nothing. I ripped the big foot and blah, 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 blah. And he got done talking, the young man said, but you forgot how to say something. You know, I said, how much you know about the whole thing? It's living. That's it. In a lion's alone, not too many years ago, you live about 8 miles from a lion. In 1 year's time, there were 8 men in a good taste of this way of life. If you commit suicide, drink yourself to death in 1 year's time. How fortunate we are. And stay away from the body. I don't tempt myself. Then Neo stands there, no parking here for me. Bill Dodson used to have a story about staying away from the body. The three guys went up the mountain to be interviewed for a taxi driver job. The first guy was asked, how close do you come to hitting this cliff without going over? The person said, I can come within 4 inches. The second was asked, how close do you come? I can come within 2 inches. The third one was asked, how close do you come? I don't know. I'm going to know. I know this much. I'm going to stay away from get to the cliff just as far as I can. You know, any day it can swim down a little bit. It takes a lie when to swim up. We were the lie when we were drinking. A friend of mine told us this story some time ago. He was sober a year and a half. One evening he and his wife had an argument. I'll show you, I'll get drunk. He went to the liquor store to buy a bottle and the parking lot was filled up and he had to make a couple rounds around the block. By so doing, he come to himself. He went back home, didn't buy that bottle, that was over 20 years ago. I took him at the tiger, tied him at front yard with a bottle of booze. Me and alcohol just don't mix. Stay with sober people, stay with dry people. We have a very, very good sense of safety. The farmer was planting the corn in the spring of the year, and the corn come up. The crows got in there picking up the corn, feeding on the kernels on the bottom. The farmer went out along the fence row with his shotgun blasting away these crows. The farmer went out picking up the dead crows, and lo and behold, among these dead crows was their pet parrot with a broken wing. So he picked the parrot up and took it home. When he got home, someone had said, what happened to our parrot? Before the farmer could answer the question, the parrot said, wrong crowd. If you heard something tonight that they didn't like, lay it up on the floor. Maybe someday you want to use it. It's not so bad. Me and Mom was at a brother-in-law's house some years ago. Before we went home, Mom spotted a bottle of Four Roses on the beer. And he discovered it. And he was talking about it. He said, want a drink? He said, no. Sure, you can have a drink if you want to. I said, not for $1 million would I take a drink. You think, boy, you've been sober 30 some odd years, you can take a drink now. Not. A friend of mine, Tom from Cleveland, sober 29 years. And if something happened, he went overboard. Got drunk. And he tried and he tried and he couldn't get back. As a man here from Akron, a close friend of mine, always liked to hear of me. At 20 some odd years, his wife died, the bride. Then he stopped going to meetings. Years went by and he remarried. But he didn't let tell his new wife that he's an alcoholic. And the poor man didn't die sober. None of things to prove to me. I need this program just as much as I ever. See, no, they lose their power, choice, their reason, their desire. No time to fall off. I don't want to take it. There's just two places to get. Two places. October the 14th, there's 10 questions in the talk for the day. How much of my life is it? You want to go to meetings occasionally now and then? A man was walking along the road on a cold day. Snake was laying along the road, and the snake said, I'm cold, pick me up. No, you're a snake, you'll bite me. No, I won't bite you. He picked the snake up and put it around his throat, and asked while the snake got warm, jiggled around, he reached in. Snake bit him. He threw the snake down. You told me you wasn't going to bite me. Yes, I know, but you know who I was. I know who to bother. Yes, sir. Maybe this breast ring won't lead to the explosion, but it will sure light the fuse. It will sure light the fuse. A man got on a streetcar one day. Sat down beside a man that was just snapping his finger. What's wrong with you? Are you cuckoo? Well, I'm keeping the elephant away. Oh, there's no elephant within 500 miles from here. Well, it works. Now the man or trouble, man or woman that has trouble in this program goes overboard. Don't be afraid to come back. Keep coming back. Let no failure be fine. And don't let the glamour of AA wear off. If I point a finger at him or her, I got three of them pointing back at me. The only time I have any right to look down on that fellow man is when he threw over and gave him money. There was a young boy, such a good skater, and he was asked, what makes you such a good skater? He stood in the middle and said, well, maybe this is because I always get up and try again. That's what counts. Try again. The only guy that has any success running other people down is the elevator boy. Now, it's these small things in life that have to watch the most, regardless of how small they are. You never heard of anybody sitting over Pike's feet. It's these small things. And enough of it for us to make a statement. Jim Brennan came off of the elevator one morning at a hotel. I wonder if I pulled that towel down in the washroom for the next guy. He said he took the elevator and went back up, and I pulled that towel down for the next guy. And he said, I know Jim Brennan. If I leave these little things slip, they're going to pile up in the big thing. Then there was things that I do. One more story. Telling about these little things. Outside of Hartford, where we live, there's a sale barn on Monday. They always have a bunch of produce trucks. Quite a number of years ago, on a Monday evening, I came home from work to stop at the sale barn. I came home first. I told Mom I'm going over to the sale barn to buy some raw pineapples today. There was a neighbor woman at our house as a present that her husband had run off and left the two small boys to raise. This neighbor woman said, bring me a couple. I went over there and bought a bunch for us and two for her, but on the way home, I picked out the two smallest ones for her. After all, I'm in town, I've done the work, you know. Well, you know, I couldn't forget that shame. Every time I seen a woman, I saw her, but every time I seen a pineapple, I saw her. Sometime later on a Monday evening, on the way home from work, I stopped at the sale barn. One of the first things I seen was a pineapple sitting on the table. Okay, now you go buy a couple of pineapples, take it home, and tell you what you've done. Whew, that hurts my pride. What would she think of me? And mind you, love, you're the one that done this dirty work. I want to thank Jake for inviting me here, not because me, Papa, no, no. Of myself, I'm nothing. But I must keep busy. Your thing is it's much better to wear out than a restaurant. So I cannot afford to do like a little boy that came home from school one day with asked by his father. Son, you been a good boy in school today? No. Been a bad boy? No. Well, what then? I was just humble. You're not. So don't walk in front of me, for I may not follow. Don't walk behind me, for I may not lick you. Walk beside me. Do you again. Thank you, God bless you.